If you're new to our church today, we're in the middle of a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we're slowing down in this portion to look at the Lord's Prayer, which is recorded here in Matthew 6 as well as in the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read this prayer just as Jesus preached it, Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Jesus speaks these words, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I did not learn to pray the Lord's Prayer in church. I learned to pray it in the locker room. And that was my first exposure to the disconnect that existed between people who would pray something like this and yet not believe anything they're praying. That is not how Jesus intended this prayer to be used. I was very confused by my football team taking a knee before a game and praying this prayer, only to have the most vulgar language spoken immediately afterwards. And to have a coach who constantly took the Lord's name in vain, often at me and something I did wrong, to say, "Let's now pray to the Lord." I was a young Christian and I was very confused. I think a lot of us are confused about prayer in general. In specific ways, even with the Lord's Prayer, there's things that we have just fallen into belief about just because it's so known. And yet, the essence of every word that Jesus spoke matters. This morning, I'm going to focus on the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, which is, "Hallowed be thy name." Many of us haven't even thought of that being a petition. We actually just thought of that as part of the address. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then we move into the petitions, "Thy kingdom come." But first thing I want you to see today is that this petition, "Hallowed be thy name," is a petition, and it's the priority of the whole prayer. In fact, it's the only petition that we will continue to pray into eternity. In eternity, we won't pray, "Thy kingdom come." In eternity, we won't say, "Give us our daily bread." In eternity, we won't say, "Forgive us our sins," because we won't sin. We won't pray, "Lead us not into temptation." There will not be temptation. But oh, for eternity, if you think this was glorious this morning, we will be singing in perfection, working in perfection, bringing God glory in perfection, because He makes it possible. When I came to this church almost 20 years ago, I was an ordained pastor transferring in from another presbytery, which was in Missouri. And when you transfer in from one presbytery to another, you are re-examined. But the examination is to take place on your views. What is it you believe? And usually it's centered on hot topics of the day. So you can imagine what we might be asking Pete as he comes in to be interviewed. What are your views on this? I was coming from Missouri Presbytery to the North Texas Presbytery, and I was prepared to answer anything except the question that was asked. It was a question I had never been asked, and it's a question, frankly, I don't think I've been asked since. And it was by Paul Settle. If you're new to our church, Paul has since gone to be with the Lord. He was one of the men that God used to found the whole denomination, the PCA. Very, very wise, very godly man. And when I discovered that he was the one who would be conducting my interview, my examination, I was nervous. Not because he wasn't a kind man, but I just had no idea, with all the years of experience, what he might ask. And I also knew that because of who he was, it could be anything. And so he steps up, and we were here in this church in one of the Sunday morning community rooms upstairs, way down the hall. And he said, "Well, Mark, are you ready?" I said, "I think I'm ready." He was okay. My first question, what do you like about God? That's what everybody did, including me. And I learned early, if you don't know an answer, you stall. And sometimes you stall by asking the person conducting the interview the same question. So I said, "Oh, I don't know. What do you like about God?" And in his grace, Paul said something. I have no idea what it was. I wasn't listening. I was thinking about my own answer. And when he finished, I said, "I like that too." And that was the end of the interview. What do you like about God? What your answer is to that question says a lot about how you pray. When prayer becomes drab, distant, seems irrelevant, it's always because a low view of the one we're praying to has entered into our mindset. That's why this opening petition, "Hallowed be thy name," is so important. Hallowed be thy name. What does it mean? That question, "What do you like about God?" we asked Catherine, Sam, and Pete in our staff meeting last Monday. Our staff meets now each Monday at 9:05 to 9:30. Just a quick reminder of who we are and what we're called to do. Introducing them to the staff, just as we did you, Paul asked that question. Catherine went first, and she, and I'm using my words, but she talked about the transcendence of God, the immensity of God. It was awesome. Pete went next, speaking really about the intimacy of God, followed by Sam, who talked about the love of God. And those three short answers gave the essence of who it is we're praying to. Our Father, who is in heaven. Our Father, the intimacy of his children calling him Abba, and the transcendence. God is so big. He is so mighty. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. That is who we're praying to. J.I. Packer, in his monumental work, Knowing God, speaking of God as Father, says this: if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, think about that statement. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, I wonder what you would say next. If you were to say, "I think if you want to judge how well somebody understands Christianity, this is what I would say," what would you say? I want you to hear what he says. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. Would that have been your answer? Packer goes on, if this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. I hope you'll think about that. We can be brilliant academically with the Christian doctrines. We can actually even be zealous in missions and accomplishing a lot for God, and yet not really have a good understanding of Christianity because we have a low view of God as Father. Hallowed be thy name is the first petition that we're bringing to our Heavenly Father. What does it mean? Well, a petition is simply asking something. It's simply going to our Heavenly Father saying, we want you to do something. And in this case, the first petition and the eternal petition is, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means set apart, sacred, holy. It's hagiazo in the Greek. I love how it sounds. Hagiazo. It's not that we're asking God's name to be made more holy than it is, because it can't. God, his nature, and that's what name means in the Bible. It's more than just a title. It's the nature and the character and the personality of God. God can never be more holy than he already is. So what are we petitioning the Father for? We're petitioning the Father to cause his great name to be praised. If he doesn't cause that to happen, it will not happen. You cannot offer God prayers that bring him glory, or worship that brings him glory, or giving that brings him glory, if you aren't first and constantly saying, cause your great name to be praised. In my life, in the life of our body, in the life of your church, hallowed be thy name. The great Bishop J.C. Ryle says this, by the name of God, we mean all those attributes through which he, God, has revealed himself to us. His power, he's omnipotent. His power cannot be measured. All other power can, not his. His power, his wisdom, holiness, justice, mercy, and truth. We are making much of the name of God when we ask him to cause those things to be praised. By asking that they may be hallowed, we mean that they may be made known and glorified. In Paul's prayer, he prayed for a number of people in our church who are dealing with cancer. Some have been in the battle a long time. Some, it's a brand new diagnosis. It's terrifying. It's frightening. As pastors and as members of this church, if you know people who are going through those things, you have the sweet privilege of walking beside them. What do you hold out to them? What do you say? You say, your Father who is in heaven, hallowed be his name. Cause his name to be praised because he is more present than the cancer. He is not able to learn anything about what's going to happen in that person's life. And that which is true for physical illness is true of emotional illness and relational brokenness. If you have a child that's wandered away, if you have a friend that's wandered away, where do you go to meditate? What are you meditating on? All the what ifs that could happen? Or that's called anxiety? Or upon the God who is all-knowing and everywhere present? Hallowed be thy name is a petition. Secondly, hallowed be thy name is the priority of the prayer. Jesus could have given us anything, but in the way he ordered his prayer, he puts this idea of God-centeredness first. Before we ever ask for any need, and he tells us to, and we should, he's our good Father, we worship him. We praise him. Just like in the Ten Commandments, where the name of God is lifted high, we're told we're not to in any way blaspheme that name. Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, pray, hallowed be thy name. It's a priority. And the priority is not just in the prayer, but it's in all of our life. And if every part of our life is lived this way, we have all things in the right place. When I wake up, hallowed be thy name. When I pray over my children or teach my children, hallowed be thy name. When I think about putting a message together or preaching a message, hallowed be thy name. If you don't cause your name to be praised, it never will. It is a petition, it is a priority, and it's missional. Think about that. The very first petition that the Lord gives us is missional. The missional part of the Lord's Prayer doesn't come when we talk about the kingdom. It comes right here. We're asking God to cause his great name to be held as holy and sacred and set apart, filled with people who praise him and seek to bring him glory. This missional aspect of the Lord's Prayer, this first petition, is actually personal. It can frame every day of your life, but it's certainly also corporate, where we seek to hold out Jesus to others. Let me give you an example of how that happens. Have you ever been to a sporting event where the people around you weren't bringing praise to God? Have you ever been to a sporting event where the very name that we hold high, how many times has Christ, Son of God, Father, Holy Spirit been mentioned in the last hour? Have you been to a place where it's been said in ways that aren't hallowing the name of God, but it's blasphemy? I bet you have. I had a conversation with three friends last week that reminded me of another story. One of our dads took his young son to a stadium not far from here, about 3.5 hours, not north, I'll have you know, it was south. And there in that stadium surrounding him, vulgar language began to be spoken. And as a dad, you're trying to protect your son, and you should. So it reminded me of my story. I was at a Mavericks game with one of our pastors, one of our elders, and one of my children, one of my boys. And there was a woman who came who was rooting for the other team. The other team was Golden State, and they were really good. And we were not very good. She came. She came by herself. It was a birthday present that she had given herself. And she was already intoxicated by the time she got to the game that she came to by herself. Her seat, singular, there was only one, was right behind us. And she was vulgar. The things that came out of her mouth, including the Lord's name in vain, were so offensive, so annoying, and they were winning, so it was worse. It was rough, everyone. And everybody around her told her so, and she needed to be told. It wasn't until security came, though, and moved her a little bit away, that she kind of sobered up a bit, no pun intended. And I was glad, because my child's ears were protected. But the elder who was with us went to get to know her, found out a little bit about her, didn't even know that was happening. One of the things he found out was where she worked. And the reason he did that was because he knew that her eyes were blind and her heart was dark, and she didn't even know what she was doing was wrong. Or if she did, she just didn't care. So wanting, praying, Father, hallowed be thy name. Wanting God's name to be hallowed even by one who was as wretched as her, caused that elder in quiet submission to the Lord to just find out a little bit about her. And he did. How do I know? Well, the next day he went to see her at Target, where she was a cashier. He needed batteries, and she needs Jesus. That's called hallowing the name of God. I wish I could say that she came to faith that day. That's not what we know. But what happened was a picture of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. We shouldn't just be irritated by people who blaspheme the name of Christ. We should stand up for it. We should ask people not to do it. We should speak against it, even boldly and strongly. And I have done that. But I'm going to be honest. Most of the times I've done that, I've been so annoyed that I certainly didn't think about this first petition. I don't even think I probably prayed for the person. I certainly didn't get to know them. Circumstances will dictate what you are able to do. I understand. But hallowed be thy name is not just part of the address. It's not just the introduction to this prayer. It's the first petition. And the first petition's not just for us as worshipers. It is for us as evangelists who want to go out and tell others what that name really means, who that name belongs to. So what do you like about God? I want to close with this. If Paul, Settle, and I could talk again, I would want my answer to sound something like this. My God is so big. Children, listen. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing, say it, my God cannot do. My God is so big that he parted the Red Sea and he stopped the rushing waters of the River Jordan. My God is so big that he then sent his son to this earth, who himself would walk on water, calm the raging sea, and then tell a woman at the well, I am living water. Before he calmed the sea, I'm sorry, before he died, he calmed that sea. He touched lepers. He cast out demons. He restored the broken. Before he died, he taught his disciples to pray this very prayer, beginning with, my Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And my God is so big that when I pray that prayer, the very one who taught me to pray that prayer has told me in his word that he's living right now to intercede for me, as is the Spirit, the helper he promised. My God is so big. And if you know him, your God is that big too. You can pray anytime. You can pray anytime, anywhere, about anything, but always pray first these four words. Hallowed be thy name. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, may that not just become a ritual, but may the very words that we know we will pray into eternity mean so much to us as we consider the very one that we are praying to, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving God. Lord, like we started today, enable us to look at the past and remember what you've done. Enable us to anticipate the future of what you promised to do. But in this moment, between now and when you call us home, let us never forget the one we're praying to. And give us eyes to see those around us, and give us a longing that they too one day might come to saving faith. And join us in saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I pray for the woman that worked at Target. I have no idea where she is. May that be the reality of her life and other cashiers that we'll see this week and people we work next to and children who play on our kids' sports teams, people who serve in the same office or on the same board, or one or two who perhaps have walked into this place this day and have never heard the good news. That I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Friends, today, if you long to know you're saved by Christ, confess your sins to him now. Tell him that you need a Savior and that Jesus is the only one. Receive him as Lord and Savior. and then tell someone like Paul or myself or someone around you what you've done this day. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.